title of my talk today is The Efficacy of Steiner Neumann Carpocapsy, and we're applying it by chemigation to control navel orange worm, Amyloidus transitella, and almonds and pistachios. The navel orange worm is the primary lepidopteran pest in these two commodities. And this is a collaborative effort between myself and Larry Lacey. And in addition, there are lots of other people who are involved, both past and present. This started out in
the abundant negatively charged of the PPG secreted by the parasites could be forms a barrier against the enzymatic attach. How similar to the function of the gastric mucins? And thank you, David, Nick, and Phil from NIH, our lab, Steve from the mutants, and Santurco with the purified molecules.
There may be some potential for Leishmania to become a little more established in the States, and this is one of the things I want to talk about today. So the title of this is a survey of phlebotomous sandflies at U.S. military installations and any implications that this might have for transmission of old world leishmaniasis. As I was mentioning, leishmaniasis has really been around for quite a while. I remember one time at Walter Reed when they were reviewing whether traps were set at. The two fingers represent, this is site two, site four, and so on. And so you see that there's quite actually a diverse type of habitat, from a lot of foliage to not so much foliage, rocky areas, and so on. And these are the data from Fort Hood. And again, most of the sandflies caught were Diabolic and Anthophora, and it's not showing here, and then some Vexator. But recently we have identified some Shannoni from these collections as well. So it also goes into that area. Okay, so I think there is overlap between where soldiers returning to these bases and other places and the sandflies occurs. If we move on to this as the looking at the potential of these sandflies to be a vector, even though there's an overlap between the infection and the disease or the sandfly, it doesn't necessarily mean that the sandfly is capable of transmitting the parasite. But we already know that Leishmania anthophora and Leishmania diabolica will transmit cutaneous leishmaniasis, Leishmania major. And so they've already been implicated as being a vector. Experimentally, what's that?
Leishmania mexicana, yeah.
Right. Experimentally, they've been infected with some of the exotic ones that have developed. Endurist did some work with that. And Phil Lawyer had some unpublished results where he also got good develops of Leishmania infantum in Diabolica. Leishmania shannoni, there's been a couple of articles come out recently implicating it as a vector of infantum in South America. Okay, so we want to go look at cutaneous leishmaniasis. Again, we have the transmission occurring in Texas. This is Leishmania anthophora. This is some of Phil's old data. And this is some of the sites where there's association between the wood rat as a reservoir for this disease and Leishmania anthophora. And this shows the distribution of the wood rats. And the disease is pretty much limited by this reservoir. So where you find these wood rats, you frequently find the disease. This is an example of the cutaneous Leishmania mexicana, and this is the life cycle of this that occurs. So we haven't been able to get enough Leishmania anthophora diabolica to actually test them and see if they will develop and transmit Leishmania major. This is work that we need to do. However, as far as Leishmania shannoni is concerned, I allowed feral Leishmania shannoni to feed on a lesion of L. mexicana, of L. major, in a mouse, and over 80%, and this is even higher than we usually get with a natural vector, of these flies became infected quite heavily, and they developed what we call advanced infections, which are anterior migrating forms lasting more than 7 days, and then what we look at as metacyclic forms where the flagellum is actually longer than the body of the parasite, and these are what we consider to be metacyclic or infected forms. So even though we haven't been able yet to carry out the final stage of proving that this is a vector by actually transmitting the parasites, at this point it looks like that Shannon and I will probably be a good vector for Leishmania major. Now, there's a paper out where they looked at Leishmania major in Leishmania longipalpus, which is a related species of sandfly occurring in Central and South America. And again, the parasite developed extremely well in that fly, although again, they didn't actually do a transmission to a new a host. So in concluding, we do have a source of Leishmania major that has been introduced into the United States in numbers far greater than ever before. I mean, this parasite is brought in low numbers by civilians picking up the disease as they travel, but this is a sort of a major influx. And there's also a high likelihood that one or more of the U.S. species of anthropophilic sandflies will be able to transmit Leishmania major, and also I put Leishmania infantum because this is a parasite that's found in the dogs that are infected in a lot of the eastern U.S. And also there's an overlap between these vectors and infected people. Okay, if we continue along these conclusions, even though there is an overlap in the vector may not have access to these lesions. A lot of times when people have these kind of lesions, they're going to keep them covered by bandages. They're going to be under treatment. We don't know the effects of treatment on transmission. And also, a lot of this activity, the activity of the sandfly, their feeding habitats occurs in the evening after dark, and this may not be a time when a lot of the people are out moving around and about. So the chances of actual contact between the vector and the lesion is probably not very great, even though they do overlap. But if it did occur, then I think there is a chance that they might pick up the parasite and might be able to transmit it. And I think there is an abundant availability of different kinds of reservoirs for these parasites in the U.S. We haven't examined a lot of it. We know that mice are susceptible. We know that rats are susceptible. Dogs are susceptible. Possums are. So there's just a whole list of different kind of animals that are susceptible. So I think if one of these flies did pick up the infection, we may have a chance of this becoming established, and then Leishmania would no longer be an exotic problem as far as U.S. is concerned, but I don't think it would ever be a major problem, but I think we will occasionally have cases of transmission occurring. That's it. Okay. Acknowledge and disclaimers. The Army takes no responsibility for anything that I say.
We have a couple minutes for questions.
I have a question. I'm in contact with a civilian entomologist working in one of your camps. And he said that all the Leishmania cases they see, they have to send home.
Right.
Why are they not treated in the camp?
It's kind of complicated. The only treatment at this point that is authorized is the treatment of pentostam. And in the U.S., it's not an FDA-approved drug. So the only people that can dispense that or treat that are people that have the appropriate permissions to do that, and that's in Walter Reed and one of the hospitals in Texas. So everybody has to come back to the States for the treatment. Okay. It's not saying that a lot of people...
Not all are coming back to the States now, because they're actually doing freeze treatments in the United States, in country, as well as thermal treatments.
Okay. Yeah.
Only the most serious cases are coming back to the United States for the pentostam treatments.
Right. The other treatments are not... Now. What's that?
They're also using an antifungal that is actually quite effective as well, and they can do that.
These are not the heat treatment... for the minor lesions is probably okay. The major lesions, the heat treatment is not a good option. And the fungal...
Talking about the amphotericin B?
Amphotericin, yeah. This is something they would go use if the other didn't work. It's not a first choice of treatment because of the side effect. Yes?
And have you considered the possible concern for the Caribbean Basin, particularly Puerto Rico? We have a large island, a number of people from Puerto Rico have also gone to the area, and we have a much more open
Okay. You know, there's never been a case of leishmaniasis in Puerto Rico. They've had some cases in horses, and in most cases, it turns out these horses were imported. There's a couple of questionable areas. We're not sure that there's an appropriate vector there, but it's something that probably should be looked at because a lot of these soldiers, there are a lot of soldiers in the Army from Puerto Rico that go back and forth and home. I haven't given it too much thought up to this point, but it may be something that should be looked at too.
One more question.
Yeah. You mentioned that Shmini Major goes well in the Somaliland Republic. And actually, we are now using it for transmission of MBU, and we're getting over 90% transmission of L Major by the Somaliland.
Okay, this is unpublished
so
new results.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
So it proves the point that L Major is very likely to get established in the U.S. with the. But what the Army is doing now to prevent it happening. After the soldiers come, are they allowed to go home before they get treated completely?
Yeah, as I say, I don't think the Army is, they're treating them, and the effect of treatment